put it mildly, this was an unusual religious ceremony in the temple. It was not unusual for a pious Jewish woman to come to the temple for purification after giving birth. It wasn't unusual that she would bring her newborn son with her. It was maybe not even unusual for a man who sounds like a prophet to come up to them and give them a blessing. But the things that this old man said. Of course, Luke says, and the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. This was an unusual religious ceremony. And it could have been tempting for Joseph and Mary to just dismiss this man as crazy. But the narrator doesn't want us readers to do that. Luke spends the first section of this story carefully setting up Simeon's credibility. He's described as righteous and devout. We hear that the Holy Spirit rested on him, which is a phrase that could be used to describe a prophet. In fact, it was because he was guided by the Holy Spirit that Simeon even came to the temple that day. The words that Simeon uses in his song are straight out of the prophecy of Isaiah. Luke wants us to know Simeon is legit. But this was an unusual religious ceremony, and a painful one for Mary and Joseph in the end. Simeon says to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul, too." A sword will pierce your own soul. When we read the whole Gospel of Luke, we realize that Mary's soul could have been pierced any number of times. It could be this story. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." But he said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." It could be that Mary was among the women who followed Jesus all the way to the cross. It could be that Mary was among the women who prepared spices to anoint Jesus for burial. Maybe instead of picking only one way that Jesus caused Mary pain, we can say that a sword pierced her own soul and then was twisted. When Simeon announces this, it's different from the words that Mary has been using in Luke to talk about Jesus. When the angel announced her mission in the first place, Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." When Elizabeth saw Mary, she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." In response, Mary sang, "Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed." When the shepherds visited the baby Jesus, we hear that Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. But now, Simeon says, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon's ominous words were not only for Mary, they were for all of Israel. Simeon says, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed." This part actually does sound like some of Mary's words in Luke so far. The falling and the rising of many in Israel sounds kind of like, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." That was a line from the Song of Mary, which was also about some falling and some rising because of Jesus. In other words, the transformation that this little baby was going to bring about was not an easy one. Jesus was bringing a better world, certainly, but to do so, he'd be bringing judgment on injustice. He'd be bringing judgment on the sin that people had become used to. Because of the sin of the world, there would be parts of this transformation that would be very painful. Simeon himself was waiting to see the Messiah, and was waiting to die. He knew the pain of waiting. These words about pain from Simeon were not just coming from a crazy prophet. They were coming from someone who felt that pain himself. When Jesus comes to our world, he brings transformation that is sometimes painful. We're starting from a place, we're starting from a state of being where we're not ready to accept Jesus. We need to do the falling that Simeon talked about sometimes before we can do the rising that he talked about. There are two times during the Christian year where we wear purple before we wear white. One is Lent, a season of death and purple penitence, before the resurrection white of Easter. The other is Advent, a season of waiting and purple penitence before the new birth white or gold of Christmas. Simeon reminds us that even after Jesus' birth, even now, we're in a painful season of waiting. Jesus' coming included death on a cross, a painful redemption. And we still wait today for the new heaven and the new earth. Before Jesus gives us freedom, he shows us our imprisonment. Human nature says that even when we unite for something positive, division and anger will end up showing up. In this country, the House of Representatives has passed a health care bill, and the Senate's on the verge of doing the same. If you were naive, you would say, this is all pure and good, trying to heal sick people. It must be good things that are happening and people are getting along. But even with this good goal, I don't think anyone is happy with how the bill ends up as we try to work together. Another political example, when leaders from many nations gathered in Copenhagen over the past few weeks, they were coming together to talk about taking care of the planet. But to put it that way is more simplistic than the real tensions that were going on there between industrial nations and developing nations. Even in the United States, between different political parties and groups of people, there's a lot of division over these issues. In our own hearts, in one person, there's even division. This holiday season is supposedly one of rejoicing and family togetherness. But because of this pressure to feel happy and the sun shining fewer hours of the day, this is a time when more people suffer from depression than usual. Many people who miss loved ones feel that loneliness most acutely at this time of year. It's as though Simeon could say of us, too, a sword will pierce your own soul. Even though Simeon said to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul, I think that she walked away from this unusual religious ceremony with hope rather than despair. This passage has three sections. The first one we talked about, which establishes Simeon's credibility. The third one is where he brings these ominous words of warning. But the second section is the Song of Simeon, which the church has called the Nunc Dimittis, because these are the first two words in the Latin translation of the song. This song has had a regular place in the tradition of the church. It's often sung at an evensong service at the end of the day. We sing, "Now you are dismissing your servant in peace, as the Lord dismisses us from the tasks of the day." When Simeon sang, "Now you are dismissing your servant in peace," he wasn't only thinking about the end of the day, but about the end of his life. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And now, here was the Messiah, right before his eyes. But Simeon means this dismissal in an even deeper sense, too. The phrase, "dismiss your servant," is translated in other places in the New Testament as "free your slave." It's the same kind of sense. Master, now you are freeing your slave in peace. The waiting and anticipation were so painful that Simeon described this state as slavery. But now, Simeon emphasizes, this tiny Messiah was bringing freedom. This freedom makes even more sense when we hear the way that Simeon echoes the prophecy of Isaiah. Simeon was looking forward to the consolation or comfort of Israel, which sounds a lot like Isaiah 40. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Simeon saying that the child would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles, which sounds a lot like Isaiah 42. I've given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. Simeon saying that the child would come for glory to your people Israel, which sounds a lot like Isaiah's, I bring near my deliverance. It is not far off, and my salvation will not tarry. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. We also hear in Isaiah, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now, all of these comparisons between Isaiah and Luke make for an interesting Bible study. But it tells us something more important than that. The hope for comfort, the hope for freedom, the hope for a salvation that would reach all nations and all peoples, this hope was already in the imagination of Israel. When they heard the language of comfort for the people, light for the nations, glory for Israel, they knew what was coming. When they heard Simeon say the word, now, that word held a lot of weight because of the other words he said. All of that freedom you've been hoping for, the comfort for which you were longing, the light for which you've been waiting, now it is here. Now you are dismissing your servant in peace. I think this is exactly why we read the words of Isaiah during the season of Advent. This is exactly why we sing songs of anticipation and why we light another candle each week to get ready. We do this partly because we're simply being honest with ourselves. We're waiting for something. We know that this isn't the whole story, and we feel a sense of anticipation as we wait for Jesus. We also do this partly, I think, to train ourselves to recognize Jesus when he comes. We want to cultivate in ourselves an imagination that's full of hope. We want to spread around the good news that we have reason to hope. Then, when we see glimpses of Christ's coming around us, we'll recognize them. That's the gospel. I don't remember where I've heard this story. Some acquaintance of mine had a young daughter. Every night, when this mother put her daughter to bed, she would say the words of blessing from Deuteronomy. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift the light of his face towards you and give you his peace. At their church, as at Church of the Servant, the children left at some point during the worship service for a separate worship time. When this daughter was old enough to stay in the large worship service until the very end, she heard the pastor say, for the first time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift the light of his face towards you and give you peace. Somewhere in the middle of this benediction, the daughter recognized these words and blurted out, "That's my blessing." I suppose that the mother might have been embarrassed about this at the time. But when she talked about it later, she said, "That's exactly what I want my daughter to say when she hears those words. That's my blessing." I think this is true of adults as well. When we receive surprise blessings in life, whatever form they might take, we can also blurt out, "I've heard that gospel before. I've heard that promise before. I waited for that during Advent. I know where this is coming from." We sing the Song of Simeon during Advent. This word, now, is loaded with the hope of anticipation, the pain of transformation, and the joy that's coming soon. Now my eyes have seen your salvation. We know what that means. The baby in Simeon's arms, the birth we'll celebrate later this week, the light to the nations, the glory of Israel, the hope of the world. We wait in eager expectation, as Simeon did, for the gift of God's love. Thanks be to God.